Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Pesach. This is the week of Pesach, and that's also a good time to think about joining us here in Jerusalem at Pardes for this summer. In particular, the Pardes Executive Learning Seminar, which will discuss the Golden Age of Tzvat. The Pardes Executive Learning Seminar is in its 18th year, and I invite you to come and join us to learn Torah in Jerusalem. Your teachers will include Rabbi Daniel Landes, the director of Pardes, Rabbi Meir Schweiger, and other members of the Pardes faculty. The topic this year is the Golden Age of Tzfat. Topics will include, should mysticism be the esoteric realm of the few? Is there a place for spirituality in a legal code? And what makes Tzfat a holy city? In addition to the seminar itself, which is June 28th through July 2nd, there's an optional post-seminar tour in Shabbaton, and there's few things better than a Pardes Tiul or tour. The Pardes tour in Shabbaton in Tzfat will be July 2nd through 5th. So please check out all the details at www.pardes.org.il/executive. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Pesach. I urge you to invite your friends to listen along. You can send them the details. As you know, you can listen through the Elmad website of Pardes, Elmad, E-L-M-A-D, .pardes.org.il, or from iTunes, just search for Pardes, or from your favorite podcast software for an iPhone or Android phone. So this week is Pesach with Rabbi Daniel Landes. Rabbi Landes is the director of the Pardes Institute for Jewish Studies. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. A central part of this wonderful Haggadah that soon we will be reading, a central part, there's so many parts to it, is the Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. We pick up the matzah and we make this several sentence statement, bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt, all that are under oppression, let them come and eat. All that are under a necessary need they can't fulfill, come and celebrate the Passover. This year we are here, but next year we'll be in the land of Israel. This year we are slaves. Next year we'll be free in the land of Israel. Several various versions. We lift it up. We say it. It's written in Aramaic. I just want to say a few words about this. I'm going to depend upon the commentary of Rabbi Yom Tov Ishbili. Yom Tov Ishbili, the Ritva, was a major, major commentator on the Talmud. Many volumes of his commentary. He was a student himself of the Ra'ah and of, most famously, of the Rashba. Rashba was a student from the Ramban school, Nachmanides school, and so was the Ritva. His commentaries are concise, are usually very innovative, and really get to hearts of the matter. At the end of his commentary on Pesachim, the tractate of dealing with Passover, he has his own Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach, in which he has his commentary. We'll see a few words, few lines from there, and see how that also inspires us to other remarks. And right off the bat, and he starts with Halach Ma'anya because this is the bread of affliction, because here, this is in a sense the one dramatic section that we do of elucidation, that the first that we have. There are other parts of the Seder beforehand, but this is really in many ways where it starts. And he starts with a very interesting comment. He quotes from the Rashi school, from the Machzor Vitri, which was the major ever-changing liturgical work from the Rashi school, which includes Rashi and his students and his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, their students. the Tosafos. And there it says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who opine that it's written in Aramaic in order that the Shadim should not enter and come. There's lots to be said here. First of all, what are Shadim? Shadim are little devils, or today we would say gremlins, who mess up the work. Some problem in your engine, with the engine of your car, or something going on with your computer, you may say, oh, it's the gremlins. And there's kind of that concept amongst the ancient rabbinic and medieval rabbinic Judaism. These demons are hardly demonic. They're kind of like mischief makers, and basically it's a personification of the problems that we have in getting things done. But according to this interpretation, they don't understand Aramaic. And if they don't understand Aramaic, then by giving the Halach Ma'anya, that ancient language, that really is a way of making sure that they don't come in. This itself is based on the idea that the Halach Ma'anya is really an invitation. It's an invitation for people to come and eat. And while it's the Machzer Vitri speaks about this, that he quoted, while the fact is that Passover is called in a multivalent way, a Leil Shimurim, a night of guarding. It's a night of guarding because we guarded the masses. It's a night of guarding because we wait until we will have that next morning, the exodus from Egypt itself. It's a night of guarding because we are not just guarding the masses from being chametz, but we guard them with the intention that they should be an object of liberation. And so Machzer Vitri says, why are we so worried about, this is a night of guarding, why are we so worried about anything? I mean, it's a night of guarding that even in the ghetto, later on in the ghettos of Europe, we would open the doors later on for Elijah and not be afraid because it's Leil Shimurim. But you know, gremlins have a way of coming in no matter what. And by doing it in Aramaic, it's a way of stopping them. I don't believe in gremlins. But on the other hand, there seems to be things that mess up the works. And maybe this is really part of the meaning of Halach Ma'anya being said in Aramaic. We're inviting people, come on in. Don't worry about the gremlins. Don't worry about any of those things that cause you problem. There, you know, there's two terms, and it's used already in the Machzer Vitri for these demon little devils, little gremlins. It's shadim. The other word is mazikim. Mazikim means little destroyers, which was the first joke I offered as an undergraduate entering Yeshiva College many, many years ago. And I think school started that year something on a Wednesday or Thursday. That Friday night, after the meal, there was a guest speaker, not quite so inspiring. And when he got up to speak, and he spoke for a while, most of us were half asleep, he was speaking on a topic, and all of a sudden, a Ruach Shalom Mitzuyah, an unexpected gust of wind suddenly burst into the room, the large room that we were in, the above the Reuben cafeteria, floor above, on the first floor of the Reuben dormitory, burst, and the Venetian blinds went up in the air and rattled. And he said, kind of as a joke, oh, it must be the mazikim, the little destroyers, the gremlins. Being a shy individual, I don't know how this happened. I stood up and I said in a very solemn voice, they're not the mazikim, they're actually shadim. Synonymous term. But I thought everyone would get the pun. Shadim, shades. The blinds are shades. Everyone looked at me very peculiarly. And I hope you're not looking at me the same way right now. We don't need gremlins. But the real reason, as Ishbili says, that the reason why it's in Aramaic is that actually that this whole recitation is not in Hebrew, because Hebrew does not come from a Tanit Uxoris. The Tanit Uxoris means relating to the Mishnah, before the Mishnah, in the Mishnah, which is a land of Israel source. And anything that comes from a land of Israel source is in Hebrew. But this really comes from a later period, the Amoraic period, the period of the Gemara, major comma, the major elucidation of the Mishnah, and that is written in a Babylonian dialect or a Hebrew dialect influenced by the Babylonian, Aramaic, and therefore it's in Aramaic because it goes back to that period of time. Therefore, Tiknu Oto B'Lashon Bavli, therefore they put it in the Babylonian dialect, not so that the gremlins wouldn't understand, because they don't understand Aramaic, because the individual should understand, everyone present. As a result, there is a custom, which we do in our household, and which I urge you to do, especially if you have a large group, that as many languages as possible should be used. So the first language should be the traditional Holach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, and it should be stated in the Aramaic holding the matzah. Then someone should recite it in English. It could be a few people reciting it in English. And then when you go around the table, different years we've had people do it in Spanish, Latin, actual Latin, German, Russian. We've had quite often. I said Latin. One year I had somebody do it in Pig Latin, and that was a lot of fun. It was done in the Ethiopian language. All these different languages, the whole notion, because why? It's an invitation that everyone should come and join in the Passover. Now, what you really have here is a ritualization of a fantastic custom and a way of doing Passover. According to the Torah, to the author of the Torah, Tamima, who was the son, this was in the early 1900s, son of the author of the Orach HaShulchan, Yechiel Michal Levi Epstein, he quotes his father, who himself was the author of Orach HaShulchan, reworking the Shulchan Orach. Very good scholars from the Varduk in Russia. And they, and I'm sorry, the Torah Tamima, who actually authored the piece, was a banker in St. Petersburg, terrific commentator, smart man. And he traces it, quoting his father, back to the Babylonian times and a Babylonian Jewish practice of actually taking the matzah out the day before Passover, Erev Pesach, the day preceding that night in which we do the Seder, holding up the matzah and saying, this matzah is something we share. You don't have to be alone on Pesach night. You don't have to be alone for the Seder. You don't have to be sitting by yourself. Come and share it. If you're embarrassed, look, we all share in this matzah. I didn't know if this was, when I was a child growing up and encountering the explanation, I wondered if it was true, not true. But in terms of persistence of this idea, persistence of this custom, I knew that my grandfather, the Menachem Sion, had organized in Chicago many, many different works of chesed, of loving kindness. And one thing they had was a Vad Hachnosas Orchan, a committee to welcome in guests. And especially this was used in the 1930s during the Depression in Chicago, like the rest of the country. Was a place of great poverty. There was a group that would go down to the great rail station in Chicago. Chicago was the hub for the entire Midwest, for the entire country. And they would look Erev Shabbos before Shabbos on Friday, Erev Yontov before a holiday. They would look for guests. And I met several of these men when I was in my youth. I met several of these men who had worked on this committee organized by my grandfather. And I said to him, how did you find how do you find Jewish people? He says, we went around, we could see, and who were the people they were looking for? Jews who were destitute, who were riding the rails. They weren't even paying for tickets. They were riding on boxcars. They're all illegally. They were riding on top of the trains, all illegally. And if you were caught, you'd be pushed off the train. If you were caught, you could be beaten up by the guards. It wasn't a simple thing. They would find them and bring them home for a Shabbos. And they could tell each other. But then one of them said the following to me. It was easier the day before Pesach. The day of Pesach, the day before Pesach. And the other two fellows, there's three of them, the other two fellows chuckled in their memories. I said, why? I said, because right before Pesach, they said, right before Pesach, we would carry with us a box of matzah. And whenever an indigent, desperate Jewish man, for that matter, he said there were some women, would see that box of matzah, their eyes would light up. And we immediately would have a customer. Halach ma'aniya. This is the bread of affliction. Jews are bonded by this bread of affliction. The Ritva says is called the bread of affliction for many reasons, but he gives two of the reasons. One of the great reasons it's called the bread of affliction is because it is an afflicted kind of material. When you have, as he points out, flour and water, but you add a leavening ingredient, oil or some other leavening ingredient and hot water, you can bake yourself large loaves and great pies coming off from Purim, great humantashen. You could do so, but with this matzah, I should say with this dough, this afflicted dough, all that you have is the ability to make a very small amount, which is the matzah. So it's the bread of affliction. He also quotes, of course, the idea it's called the bread of affliction because it was baked by very poor, afflicted people, themselves afflicted, who were looking for the redemption from Egypt, and they baked them, of course, this goes according to the Torah's testimony itself, and they baked it b'chipazon very quickly, not allowing it to rise. Another interpretation which he brings down, which is actually from the Rashi school, is that the notion that the bread of affliction, because even with a very small amount of matzah, this dough, can you fulfill your obligation? And here, there's a real indication that, in fact, someone eats a small amount, he will be bari u'mivorach, he'll be healthy, and he will be blessed, and therefore, not with the image of stuffing yourself with a matzah, but with enough to fulfill the mitzvah. The other notion of Lechem Ani is given to us by the Ben Ezra, Moshe Ben Ezra, the great poet, who would travel all through the civilized world. And he found himself in England. Jews weren't supposed to be in England. He was arrested. He had no reason for being there. And as he was arrested and he spent time in jail before he found a way to be set free, he was fed bread and water, but the bread they gave him was really a matzah. He asked the jailer, why a matzah? He says, well, a matzah is easily stored for a long period of time. A small amount satisfies you. It's really poor bread in that nothing extra has been added, so there's no other cost, so really it's actually cheap. He says, so this really is, Ibn Ezra said, the bread of affliction. So this is what we say. And how important is it? One last comment from the Ritva, from Ishpali, where it says, Kol ditzrich yetevi yisach, whoever is under a necessary situation, which means they're really under poverty, let them come and enjoy the Passover. And he says, this also gives us rise to understand that even though, under normal conditions, we have the opinion, let's say, of Rabbi Akiva, who says, it's better to make your Sabbath to be like the week and not to be dependent on other people. And what Rabbi Akiva says in saying that, Asei Shabbat Chachol, make your Sabbath like a weekday, Valtis Derech L'Briot, and don't be dependent on other people. Rabbi Akiva's opinion there in the opinion is really stating is that if you don't have the money, don't take money from charity, from tzedakah, don't ask for money and don't have to receive it. Even if you have to have a very simple meal, just like your weekday meal, you'll have to do so. Hopefully in the future, you'll do better, but it's better than being dependent upon people. And so the Ritva, however, says that the case of Passover night is different. Here, even if you need to be dependent, you have to ask somebody to help you out. Or in this situation, that you receive the invitation and you don't deny an invitation. And you go to someone's Seder. Do so because a Passover celebration has to be something special. Whatever your capacity is, and if you don't have that capacity, whatever you can muster to do by asking others or participating with others, do so without any feeling of hesitation, because this is the festival of liberation. And I'm very thankful to have had this opportunity to teach you and to learn from you this discourse. We thank Larry and thank all those working on this wonderful broadcast. Ha Lachma Anya, in every language that we'll say it. This is the bread of affliction, but also the bread of transformation that made us free. Thank you. A wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. I join Rabbi Landes and everyone else here at Pardes in wishing you a Chag Sameach, a wonderful Pesach holiday. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.